So journalism, and especially the business that supports it, has been in a state of profound change for about 20 years now. And much of that change has been bad. The Washington Post reports that when compared to similar careers like public relations, salaries in journalism are lower, positions are being whittled away, and the overall outlook for future journalists seems to trend downward. And long-form journalism faces its own particular struggle in our current media landscape. The rise of social media has forced many news outlets to focus on higher quantities of stories rather than longer, more thoughtful pieces. But one University of Georgia professor has not given up on the old long-form narrative journalism. Valerie Boyd heads up a Master of Fine Arts writing program that encourages students to become engaged and effective news storytellers. Professor Boyd joins us now to tell us more about her innovative program. Welcome, Professor Boyd.
Thank you.
So tell us about this. MFA programs are pretty common, but they generally teach fiction or literary nonfiction. Talk about applying that model to journalism.
Yeah, so you're getting right at the heart of what our program is. Our program is trying to bridge that false divide between journalism and literature. We are the first MFA program housed at a college of journalism in the country.
Wow.
And our thinking behind that is that journalists can write about anything. Journalists can turn the lens outward and write about the world. Most of MFA programs in creative nonfiction or fiction, you know, those programs, poetry, of course, they're based in literature departments. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of those creative nonfiction programs, students are writing memoir or personal essay. They're pretty much writing about themselves. Yeah. Our program is, because it's at the Grady College of Journalism, one of the top journalism schools in the country, our idea is that we want to equip journalists to write factual literature, is what I call it, literature that's based in fact and reporting, you know, but good journalistic writing that rises to the level of literature. I think there's always been this false divide, like there's journalists and then there's literary writers. I mean, many of the books that are on the New York Times bestseller list in nonfiction are beautifully written books that rise to the level of literature. And our program is trying to create and encourage students to move into that realm.
And I don't know, I know that we don't like to obsess about marketability of skills in higher education, but it's a reality. How do you talk about this in your program where long form is not exactly the hottest commodity on the journalism market these days?
Well, it may not be the hottest commodity on the journalism market, but the fact is nonfiction books sell mm-hmm. better these days
sure.
than fiction books. So we're really pushing people toward writing long, long form, like really going for narrative nonfiction books that have a journalistic foundation, you know, books that are rooted in solid reporting and research, but that are written in a way that's literary that, you know, reads like a novel and keeps people turning those pages. We also
could you give us a sense of
Go ahead.
Could you give us a sense of some of the projects that your students have been working on? Maybe just list a few?
Sure. We have a current student. Let me just remind you that this program is brand new. We just finished
sure.
our first year. But that being said, we have some great students who are working on book-length projects. We have one student who's been spending time with Georgia oyster fishermen, and he's mm-hmm. writing a book about that that's going to be published by UGA Press. We have another student who's writing about dealing with her mother's Alzheimer's, writing a book about this, and kind of the issue of looking at her own predisposition to Alzheimer's because it's genetic
yeah.
while, you know, ushering her mother, you know, into the next realm. But this is a journalist. This is a woman who is in our program, but she teaches journalism at Southern Methodist University. You know, she is an experienced journalist who's bringing those journalistic skills to this personal story, but also looking at Alzheimer's in the African-American community because that's the community she's from. So it's a really interesting opportunity for students to take their own interests, their journalistic skills, which some of them come in with, others we teach those journalistic skills, and then combine that with really literary, high-quality writing.
Do you see any distinction between literary nonfiction and long-form journalism, or is it an entirely false dichotomy?
Well, I see them as part of the larger umbrella. In my view, there's kind of a large tent called narrative nonfiction or literary nonfiction. And narrative journalism is a part of that. And that would be what I would call long-form journalism, the kinds of magazine pieces that are still very much important and in demand. I mean, you know, we talk about, say, you've heard of the slow food movement, which is obviously a backlash or a response to the fast food movement.
We need slow news.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I think that's what we're doing. We're experiencing this kind of slow news movement where we're saying, yes, we want the daily story. We want it on a tweet. We want it as quickly as possible. Give us the headlines, but then step back and give us the real story. Give us the complexity and the context that we need to understand why these things are happening in our world. And especially now with so many crazy things happening in our world, we need journalists to step back, take a breath, and help us to understand it all. And that's what slow journalism can do.
We're talking to Valerie Boyd. She heads up a new MFA program at the University of Georgia that teaches long-form narrative journalism. It's the first of its kind in the country. And I suppose at this point I should disclose my personal connection to this story. For anyone who doesn't know, I'm on the faculty at Mercer University Center for Collaborative Journalism, which is another new journalism model. And in that capacity, I have collaborated on a couple of things with David Armstrong, who's director of the Georgia News Lab, a student-led project that focuses on teaching investigative journalism techniques to students from universities across the region. Armstrong is a professor at Georgia State University, and he joins our conversation now. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Say hi to Valerie.
Hi, Valerie. How are you?
Hey,
we've been speaking.
Okay. So, David, you're an old school investigative newspaper guy. What do you make of Valerie's program?
Well, I think it's interesting, and I think that there are a whole lot of things that are happening right now that are trying to reinvent journalism in a way. The model broke, and it's sort of putting Humpty Dumpty back together again with new components and new formulas. And that's certainly one of the places. There is a revival of long-form journalism. There's quite a bit of interest in it. I mean, it may be somewhat boutique in the sense that it's going to be splintered off, and it may not be coming out of the same places it did before, but it's certainly happening, and certainly a lot of interest, and I think, as Valerie pointed out, there's a lot of attention to it in the book field, in magazine writing, and elsewhere. So it's part of the future for sure.
Well, let's turn the corner now and just talk more generally about how we should be teaching journalism these days, new models in teaching this trade that we all still believe in quite passionately, and I think that our listeners believe in it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be listening to a news show right now. David, tell us about the Georgia News Lab.
Sure. The Georgia News Lab is a collaborative investigative reporting initiative. It's a partnership between five area universities, along with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and WSB-TV. Students spend a year learning the techniques and strategies of investigative reporting. They work side by side with their professional colleagues. They produce real-world major investigative stories, and the top students then roll into summer internships embedded with the investigative teams at the AJC and WSB. So the purpose is to make investigative reporting affordable. When journalism broke a few years ago, investigative journalists were the first to go because they were the most expensive. So by training young people to do it, we're able to...
Oh, you're replacing them with undergraduates. That
should
work.
I'm replacing all of my friends with my students. It's a way of the organizations that want to be able to do this kind of work can do it affordably with young people who have data, who are data savvy, digitally savvy, telling great stories on new platforms and new ways. And the other important component of it is that we built into our DNA a diversity component. For years, there had been this concern that the industry in general, but investigative reporting in particular, was simply too white. And we wanted to do something about trying to make that change. So our partners in the project are three historically black colleges and universities, along with Georgia State, which is highly diverse, and UGA as well. And we have a high component, a high ratio of African-American and minority students who are training to do this very important work, getting opportunities they wouldn't get otherwise, and able to, as we hope, move into newsrooms and bring new perspectives into those newsrooms, tell stories, dig stories about communities that have historically been poorly covered, and find those, tell those stories to people who can appreciate what's going on and learn things that they wouldn't know but for the hard work of these students and in their current roles and in their future capacities as professional investigative reporters.
Today we're considering the future of journalism. How do educators help prepare the next generation of reporters, editors, and news managers? What principles and techniques are most important to pass on? And how important are media ethics in our current culture? University of Georgia Professor Valerie Boyd and Professor David Armstrong of Georgia State University are with us. And joining us now to talk about kind of even the younger generation is Connie Grabel. She's a journalism and English teacher at Lee County High School in Leesburg, Georgia. Hello, Connie.
Hey.
I said your name right. Wrong. No, it's Connie Grabel.
Grabel, there you go.
Grabel, I got it.
That's okay.
Thank you for coming up all the way from Leesburg. That's down around Albany, is that correct?
Right, between Albany and Americus.
So how do you get high schoolers down there interested in journalism?
Well, they come in usually because they have one particular skill they want to build. A lot of times I get somebody who comes in because they want to be a photographer. I get somebody who comes in because they're a writer. And then you make sure they understand that it's much more than that, that you want staff members that can do it all. But once they're in there, over the years, if your program is what it should be, you build a reputation for being more, we're not high school reporters, we're high school journalists, and for learning the difference and what goes into that.
And are there a lot of students who are into it, who seem optimistic about it as a career path, or is it just something they're dabbling in as we do when we're in high school and college?
Well, sometimes they come in as a dabble, but they usually leave knowing if they want to go into the profession, what area they want to go into. One of the current trends is, as your other guests were just talking, the college programs have moved to more of a converged journalism. You no longer have a broadcasting major, a print major,
right,
a magazine major. It's a converged model, and that's what we're doing in high schools, too. My kids run three publications out of one staff and one, you know, class time.
Yeah.
And because they do that, they have to be very organized, but they also have to learn every aspect of the trade. They have to learn how to work the cameras. They have to learn how to edit their own work or others. They have to learn how to give an interview or conduct an interview that'll really dig and find the real story. But they're pretty positive about it. If you had asked me 2 years ago if my students felt positive about the future of journalism, I'd have a very different answer.
Huh.
But right now, I think because they're aware that the collegiate programs have changed and they're aware that this doesn't mean print is dead. It means that print has a different format and you have to be creative with it. They're much more encouraged by the industry as a career.
Valerie Boyd at UGA, how does that make you feel to hear that?
That makes me feel great. Send your students my way, Connie.
I'd love to. You have several, but I'd love to.
I want to add to what Connie said. I think journalism is not, I mean, it is broke, as David pointed out, but we're fixing it. We're working to fix it. And it's not dead. And I have friends who are former journalists who are surprised that I still have students. They're like, people are still majoring in journalism? And yeah, we have a lot of journalism majors because they understand the power of journalists. I mean, in your intro, you talked about, you know, anybody can become a journalist. They can tweet. They can send out a Facebook message, all of that. That's all true. I mean, social media kind of takes away the gatekeepers in a way and makes it, it levels the playing field. Anybody can write about anything. So it gives everyone access to being journalists, but trained journalists know how to approach a story ethically. They know how to dig deep for the interview, like Connie talked about, to really get at real issues and important questions. So there's some training that we can give to these young people to help them really tell stories that matter. And they get that, and that's why they flock to Connie's class. They flock to, you know, David's and my programs, you know. So we are not experiencing, I don't think, a dearth of journalism students. We just have to give them the training so that they can really deal in this complex world.
Yeah, David Armstrong at Georgia State, Georgia News Lab. Your program and my program at Mercer very much built on the idea that students need real-world experience while they are training in college at real professional publications. It used to be that the primary training ground for collegiate journalists was at the college newspaper, and certainly lots of schools still have amazing college newspapers that do really, really strong work. But one reason that we're putting them into professional newsrooms is because there's fewer adult professional journalists to work in those newsrooms and they need help. But what's the benefit to students?
There's no question. It's interesting listening to this conversation. To hear a journalist talking about the future of journalism this optimistically, I think would have shocked people a few years ago. Yeah. But things are changing. And as you point out, these collaborations are really where the future is. There's no question about it. The organizations that want to do this on more limited resources than in the past are looking for young people to come in and be able to do this more affordably. Giving them the training and the background and the skills to be able to do it makes it all the more possible. And the benefit for the news organizations, on top of just having people who can do the work, is they're bringing the ideas, the new technologies, the new stories, the new perspectives into those newsrooms. They are the future of journalism. There's no question about it. You have these large megaphones, in a sense, these traditional outlets that can get the stories out. They're very good at that. There's been a breakdown in the way that news is gathered, collected, told, the subjects, but there are enthusiastic young people who want to do this work. They're getting opportunities to get great training, work with professionals, and bring their perspectives, their facile ability with digital, with data, into those newsrooms, and able to do the things that in the past weren't possible. We don't know what it is yet, but I think the young people who are coming along are really the key to what journalism is going to look like in the future, and it's very hopeful that there are these programs out there who are able to train them.
Connie Grable, you're teaching at the high school level. Talk to us about how your students seem to relate to the concept of ethics in media. Are they concerned about it, or are they sort of wrapped up in the prevailing report first, ask questions later thing that seems to have taken over so many once august publications?
Well, they'd better not be. But we begin the year each year with our first instruction, because remember, we're a newsroom, but we also are a classroom. Mm-hmm. We begin the beginning of every year with a refresher course on journalistic ethics. And I can make a heck of a test when I want to. And, you know, it is still school, but they don't get to have anything published with us until I know that they've got a handle on ethics. And we talk about the most current issues in the news with journalistic ethics, and we do different scenarios, and I tell them the kind of questions that I think they're going to have to deal with the most. My program has a really strong background in journalistic ethics for one reason, though. We are an open forum. You have different forms of autonomy within journalism or among journalistic schools. Mm-hmm. In high schools or middle schools, you'll have an open forum, which means kids decide all the content. You might have a limited forum, which is a combination of that and adults. And then you have a prior review where somebody looks at everything and gives permission for it to be published.
Right, yeah.
Ours is an open forum, which means they can censor each other. I won't censor them.
Wow, that's putting a lot of trust in some very young people.
It is, and that is why I scare them to death with the ethics first. And we really go, because if you're going to give them that kind of responsibility, you've also got to give them the knowledge to judge it with. Now, let me go back and clarify. Mm-hmm. My student editors can censor each other. And there are a few reasons that you can pull, that I could pull an article. And they're very spelled out. And it's the same kind of, if it's the type of speech that's not protected by the First Amendment, if it's not true, if it doesn't tell the whole story, if it slanders someone without evidence or libel, if it is an intentional dig, then I could pull it for that.
Yeah, no, we know that you're being responsible down there, but you're also giving the kids a lot of autonomy, and that's great,
right.
And it's very exciting to hear everyone talk in this segment about the future of our beloved profession and that it does have a future and that there is money to be made and good work to be done. And please, 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 if you're talented, if you like making stuff, if you want to save the world, ours is the major to go with, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay. Valerie Boyd is professor at UGA, the director of narrative nonfiction there. David Armstrong is director of the Georgia News Lab, professor at Georgia State University. Connie Grable teaches journalism and English at Lee County High School. Thank you so much to all of you. We'll be back after a break. This is On Second Thought.